directly, even with Veneve's power. Instead, she fired a much smaller blast of ice, which burrowed a small hole in the fire blast. She stood in the exact spot it cleared, with the fire blast washing over her without causing damage. She countered with a blast of lightning, which hit Mizuchi directly, but didn't deal any damage. I did notice something potentially important, though. It wasn't the first layer of Mizuchi's shroud that deflected the lightning. It went through two layers before deflecting off the third. In that moment, I developed the hypothesis, but I couldn't be certain about it. I moved to Tristan. He was back on his feet. I handed him my sword. Next time she takes a breath, I want you to hit her immediately, as hard as you can. Push the ice aura into her if you can. He nodded. Even after the potions, he was still in bad shape, and half of his face was still covered in blood. His right eye was closed. I suspected it was ruined. He took the sword anyway and walked closer to where Sarah and Mizuchi were still exchanging blows. Sarah was still anticipating Mizuchi's strikes, but she lacked Mizuchi's raw speed. Mizuchi swung a claw, extending her aura much like Karis would, but forming three massive blades rather than a single one. Sarah formed a shield of ice and blocked the attack, then responded with a burst of fire. The fire wasn't effective. It reflected off Mizuchi's shroud, just like the lightning had, but it did teach me something. I was almost certain the fire deflected off the first layer of the shroud that it hit, rather than the third. That was enough to gamble on. I began to charge transference mana in my right hand. Mizuchi ripped off Sarah's remaining wing, then hit her with a solid blow to the chest. Sarah flew backward, her stone armor cracking from the force of the blow. She was running out of time. I ran closer, reaching into my bag again and to the Jaden box. Retrieve Luck Lily Extract! A globe of liquid appeared. I left it in the bag. Mizuchi flew after Sarah, but Sarah raised a wall of ice in Mizuchi's path. I ran to where Silverbrand had clattered to the ground, grabbing it off the floor. Mizuchi stopped, growled, and took a deep breath. Tristan ran toward Mizuchi, raising Selyse Leanne. Sarah raised her hands and formed a dome of stone that encompassed Mizuchi entirely. Now or never. I hurled Silverbrand at my target. My aim was a little off. That was an unacceptable result, so I blasted the hilt of the dagger with transference mana. Inside the spire, my control over mana was fantastic. Good enough, in fact, that it caught the pommel of the dagger and carried it straight into the anti-teleportation rune. The rune fizzled and died. Mizuchi's breath of lightning annihilated the wall of stone surrounding her a moment later, burning straight through the wall of ice as well. It hit Sarah, too. She flew backward on impact, smashing into the floor. Her armor crumbled, and she convulsed uncontrollably on the ground. In that moment, while Mizuchi's shroud was at its weakest, Tristan was ready. He hit her with a focused blast of ice from Selyse Leanne, which broke through her remaining shrouds and hit her, spreading across her body. She took another breath. Another one of her shrouds vanished, consumed as she converted it into mana to blast away the ice. As the ice melted away, I closed in and made my next throw. Her lightning shroud was gone. Her fire shroud was gone. The bottle froze as it passed through the ice layer of her shroud, then shattered on impact, drenching her with Luck Lily extract. Mizuchi had just a moment to look at me with confusion before I blasted her with transference mana, triggering the effects of the compound. Teleportation to a random location. Mizuchi vanished. And for just a moment, the room was silent. Tristan stared at the space where Mizuchi had been just a moment before.
What the resh was that?
Teleportation potion, basically. I don't know where it sent her. It probably won't keep her long.
We need to go.
I nodded. I rushed to Sarah. She was still conscious, but barely. Retrieve healing potion. I pressed it to her mouth, and she drank. She coughed.
I don't think I can move.
I picked her up and turned to Tristan. Where can we go? Researcher ran out of the doorway where she'd been hiding, joining us.
This way.
Tristan led us to the double doors he'd emerged from.
In Tengen's name, I unlock this sanctum.
The doors swung open. Researcher and I followed him inside.
In Tengen's name, I seal this sanctum.
The doors slammed shut behind us.
We should be safe for now.
I set Sarah down. We all just sat there for a moment, breathing heavily.
I can't believe we just survived a fight with Mizuchi.
Tristan wiped the blood from his face on his shirt. Sarah chuckled, then coughed.
That's two for us. You're behind.
Tristan laughed.
I suppose you're right. I think I'll let the two of you keep the advantage in that area.
Sarah turned to me.
So, she was weaker right after she took a breath or something?
I nodded. She had multiple shrouds, each of a specific element. Sort of like how Professor Meltlake could turn her shroud into fire, but Mizuchi had several at once. Every time she drew in a breath, she was using the corresponding shroud to power it. The first time I hit her with a potion, she used her fire shroud to evaporate it before it could do much damage. I knew if I wanted to teleport her, I needed that fire shroud gone, and ideally the lightning as well. When she took the breath, it used up the lightning shroud. Then Tristan hit her, and she used her fire shroud to get rid of the ice. After that, she still had multiple layers. I don't know what they all were, but I think it hit the ice one first, so it froze. From there, I hit it with transference mana, which triggered the compound to teleport her.
That's actually pretty impressive, Sarah admitted. Even if I figured out how her shroud worked, I probably would have just tried to wear it down and hit her hard while her defenses were weak. Your approach was better.
I don't know if it was better, Tristan cut in, but it was definitely Corrin's style.
I grinned. Karis had been right. I was much more effective when I was fighting like me, rather than trying to be someone else. I turned to Tristan, an important question coming to mind and wiping away my moment of reflection. How confident are you that she can't find us in here?
She can't get in. No one can. Not without the right key.
Tristan patted his chest.
This is Tengen's private sanctum, then?
Sarah asked.
Indeed. Or it was.
Tristan grinned.
I don't believe I should be in here, researcher said, glancing from side to side. This is a forbidden place. Even the other visages are not allowed inside without Tengen's permission.
I glanced down the hallway ahead. It was stark white walls of stone, and I could see a larger chamber ahead, but not a lot else from my vantage point. How is it that you have access to this place?
I stole it.
I raised an eyebrow. Researcher gasped.
My attunement. It allows me to steal magic.
Several things clicked together in my head at once. You have the Sovereign Attunement. That's how you were able to absorb those spells that Mizuchi cast. It's probably also how you incapacitated Tengen in the first place. Tristan nodded.
Indeed. The first thing I did when we ambushed him was steal a bit of his power. Much like when you strengthen someone with your Arbiter Attunement, however, I didn't retain all of that. I did, however, manage to target and hold on to something specific. A mark on his body that he used as a key for accessing certain parts of the tower. That mark enabled me to access his sanctum, as well as control many of the functions of the spire that normally only he had access to. I've even been able to keep the other visages out of this room, at least for now.
I glanced to Researcher, then back to Tristan. I'm not sure you should be saying all this around her, Researcher frowned.
But I like knowing things,
Tristan waved a hand dismissively.
It's harmless. If this version of her is bound to Sarah now, she'll be loyal to her. And many of the actual researchers already know what I'm up to anyway. I have an arrangement with some of them.
An arrangement? I asked.
Not all of the monsters are exactly happy about being kept inside a tower for their entire lives, bred to be slaughtered by climbers or used at the visage's whim.
Researcher's expression shifted to something inscrutable.
I suppose I'm lucky to be a copy that was allowed to be outside of the spire. Few are given such a chance.
That explained a great deal about how Tristan was able to keep working within the spire in the way he had been. If there were monsters on his side, in addition to other whispers, I could see how evading Katashi for as long as he had was more plausible. Maybe the monsters were even feeding Katashi false information. Sarah frowned.
If you had access to everything in the spire, why didn't you just give yourself a whole pile of magical equipment?
I like the way you think. I did do that, although I couldn't access everything. Because of a brand on my body, I can't physically leave the spire, nor can I travel to certain other parts of the tower in person. That makes retrieving things difficult, because I'm forced to work through intermediaries.
He pointed down the hallway.
I have some things in there that I wish I'd been wearing during that fight. I was only expecting to meet with Corrin. Normally I'm untraceable while I'm in the sanctum.
Tristan turned his head toward the floor, brushing his face again to clear another patch of blood off of it. He looked exhausted, and I didn't blame him.
I didn't think that anyone would be looking for me in the few minutes I was outside, but I hadn't anticipated the possibility that someone had already divulged our plans. Researcher must have been watching us, and reported to Mizuchi the moment that I was vulnerable.
I'm sorry.
Researcher's voice was a whisper. I turned to her. It's okay. We know you didn't mean any harm, and you helped us out in the end. Researcher nodded, but she appeared unconvinced. Sarah broke into a coughing fit, and I turned toward her. You okay?
Yeah.
She raised a hand, coughing again.
Just used too much mana again.
I winced, remembering what happened the last time she'd done something like that. How bad is it?
Not as bad as last time. I was distributing it throughout my body, not just to my lungs. And most of the mana I was using was Veniv's, not mine. My everything hurts, but I don't think I've caused myself more permanent damage this time. A few more minutes and I might have.
That largely confirmed what I'd speculated about how she was using those powerful spells against Mizuchi. Her new invoker attunement seemed to let her draw power directly from her summoned monsters, rather than just casting their spells with her own mana supply. If that was the case, she was vastly more powerful. I planned to ask her about how it worked later, but for the moment, I had more pressing concerns. We should have Sheridan look at you and make sure there isn't any more scarring, just in case. Sarah nodded.
Where is Sheridan anyway?
And the others? She turned to Tristan.
And I suppose this might be a good time for me to learn what happened to my older brother.
We took a while to fill her in. I told her about what had happened in the spire, and Tristan told her basically everything he told me. I felt guilty that I didn't have a way to send a message to Sheridan, Patrick, and Marissa to let them know that I was okay, but I hadn't actually been gone for that long. Maybe an hour? They probably weren't panicking too much. So, question, I turned to Tristan. Is this where you're keeping Tengen? Researcher's eyes widened at that question, and she leaned forward expectantly.
I'm sorry, Corrin. I'm not going to tell you that. It's been good to see you, and you as well, Sarah.
He shook his head. The look of disappointment on Researcher's face was so sharp that it almost made me sad just looking at her. I couldn't believe how expressive she was. Tristan turned his head upward, looking wistful.
I can't let you in on everything until I'm certain that we're in agreement on how to proceed. And that's going to take more than just saying a few words, if you say them at all. It's going to take time.
After everything I'd been through, it was hard to hear that, even if I couldn't disagree with his reasoning. I didn't know if I could even believe the things he'd been telling me. The events of the last several months hadn't exactly taught me to trust people. We were silent for a time. Is your eye okay? I asked. Tristan grimaced.
I don't think so.
Do you have someone you can get to heal it properly? Tristan shook his head. You should bring my friends here. Sheridan might be able to fix it. Tristan looked at me like I'd lost my mind.
You want me to put my fate in the hands of Sheridan Theus?
I folded my arms. They've healed both Sarah and my injuries more than once.
Oh, I know they're talented, but they work for Wid, Corrin. Do you understand?
I blinked. You think they've been spying on us?
Undoubtedly. If it was just Patrick with you, I would have brought him up to talk. I don't know as much about the blonde girl, but she probably would have been fine. Sheridan Theus? There is zero chance they don't have their own angle on this.
Okay, maybe. But we're just talking about healing your eye. Tristan shook his head.
They could put a shard of bone through it just as easily and remove a threat to their visage.
I sighed. Fine. Here. I pulled the silver phoenix sigil off my pants. This has shielding, regeneration, and mana regeneration functions. Put it on and activate it. I don't think it'll fix an eye, but... Tristan accepted it, pinning it to his shirt and activating it.
I'll give it a try, at least. Thank you.
Consider a repayment for giving me Celise Leanne. And about that, can you tell me more about it?
Some other time. For the moment, I think it would be best if you return to your friends.
I frowned. Why? We've only just reunited. It's been 5 years, Tristan.
Because Mizuchi may not be able to reach us here, but she can almost certainly reach them.
I had a moment to panic as I processed that. Wait. Sarah, don't you still have a bond with her? Sarah blinked.
Mizuchi, I release you.
Then she took a breath.
There. Gone. Thanks for reminding me. I'm barely conscious right now. I wouldn't have thought of it for a while.
I didn't know if Mizuchi could have summoned Sarah again immediately, but I was glad that we'd cut that possibility off before we found out the hard way. I turned back to Tristan. How quickly do you think she'll find them?
Without her bond to researcher, it would take her longer to find someone, but she may already know where they are if researcher told her earlier. It could be hours, or she could have already found them.
She knows where they are, researcher said. I don't know if she's heading there or not. I can't divine her from here.
I stood up. We need to go then. Tristan stood as well.
Follow me.
He led us down the hallway and into the larger chamber up ahead. From a distance, I hadn't understood the scale. The room was circular, maybe 100 feet across, but the real scale came from the height. My gaze shifted upward, taking in the spiral stairways and ladders that connected the levels of the room. And as I continued to look upward, I realized I couldn't see where it ended. There were dozens of levels above us. When Tristan had mentioned a sanctum, I had pictured something like a personal quarters. A bedroom, a desk, maybe some kind of devices for monitoring the building. I wasn't thinking big enough. Just on the level that we were standing, I could see dozens of things I wanted to run to and examine. The outer wall of the room was ringed with doors, each of which had a reflective mirror-like panel to the side and a number above it. Rings of metal were built into the floor, with each ring having lines of metal that led off to various devices and contraptions throughout the chamber. With my attunement active, I could see mana flowing within them, and I realized they were some kind of conduits for magical energy. The devices themselves were myriad and wondrous. On the left side of the room, dozens of human-sized mana crystals were housed inside crystalline tubes, suspended in some kind of liquid. I'd never seen even a single mana crystal that large before. I couldn't imagine the kinds of items they could power. On the right side of the room were dozens of bookshelves, but rather than books, they contained more crystals, stored in labeled jars. They're memory crystals, I realized. They might be a more efficient means of storage for someone like Tenjin that can access them easily. In the center of the room was a single titanic pillar filled with liquid, not unlike the one that had contained Celise Leanne, but on a massively larger scale. I could see numerous runes etched into the surface and mana glimmering within the waters. I could see multiple ways to reach the higher levels, stairways on each side of the room, and a few rune-activated platforms that looked like they might serve as elevators.
Wow,
researcher mumbled, her eyes widening. Yeah, was all I managed to reply.
This way,
Tristan gestured, following the wall to the right.
Are you sure we can't stay here a little while?
Researcher asked.
I'd really like to know what that thing is, and that one, and...
I completely agreed with her. Just seeing the place, I had so many questions. I couldn't stay. I knew that. But I wasn't going to let Researcher be disappointed just because I couldn't stay myself. Sarah, can you re-summon Researcher later, even if we leave her in the spire? Sarah nodded.
Sure. The type of contract we made supports that.
Tristan, can she stay here for a bit? It would make her happy and she might be able to help you a bit while she's here. Tristan sighed.
Fine, she can stay a little while, but I'm going to be very strict about what I give her access to.
Researcher clapped her hands together, beaming.
Thank you, thank you.
I was happy that Tristan had accepted, mostly for Researcher's sake, because she was clearly thrilled. But in truth, I wanted to know how much information she could gather that might be useful to the rest of us, too. I leaned over and whispered to her, "Get me some notes on the giant crystals and the pillar if you can." I wished I had time to give her more detailed instructions, or to properly prioritize. Researcher gave me a conspiratorial grin.
"Of course."
Her reply was a little too loud, spoiling any affected secrecy, but Tristan didn't seem to notice. He was walking quickly, until he finally stopped near a door.
"Okay, this is it."
The door had a 21 over it. The floor number, maybe? He turned to the mirror-like panel next to it and ran a finger across it. An image appeared in the surface, showing a room from above. I saw Marissa, Patrick, and Sheridan sitting in the center of the room talking. I breathed a sigh of relief when I realized Mizuchi wasn't there.
"They seem safe. You should go to them now before Mizuchi finds them, and leave the spire immediately."
Tristan shook his head.
"I'm sorry I can't talk to you longer. It's been good to see you both."
He extended a hand to me. I felt several emotions converge there. Doubt, fear, relief. I clasped his hand. "I'm glad you're alive, Tristan."
"Thanks."
He took a breath and pulled his hand away, reaching out to Sarah.
"Sarah, it's good to see you as well."
Sarah looked Tristan up and down, then frowned.
"Yeah."
She didn't reach for his hand.
"Sure."
Tristan put his hand back down.
"Go on, you two. Given how things have been going, I suspect I'll see you again soon enough."
I wasn't so certain about that. Tristan opened the door. I could see a glimmering portal there. I gave Tristan one last look.
"Goodbye, Corin."
"Goodbye, Tristan." And I stepped through the door. Epilogue. Another step forward. Sheridan, Marissa, and Patrick were somewhat surprised when I appeared in the room. They were more surprised Sarah appeared a moment later. I didn't fill them in on the whole situation. Instead, I told them that we needed to leave the spire immediately because Mizuchi was presumably going to be looking for us. We got an immediate chorus of agreements. I sent a message to Karis with my necklace and told him we were leaving the spire and that he should meet us outside. He sounded a little disappointed, but he agreed. We used one of the return bells and exited the spire. Karis did the same. Then, with everyone else together, we headed back to the Theus household to talk. Sheridan checked Sarah over on the way and confirmed that Sarah hadn't done herself any more permanent damage, but advised that she'd strained her entire body with those invocations, and that she shouldn't do it again. Preferably, ever. When we arrived back at the manor, we gathered everyone together, including Alora, and filled them in on what had happened. I was somewhat hesitant to say anything around Alora or Sheridan, since I knew they both most likely had their own agendas, but I was exhausted with keeping secrets. If they were going to be my allies, I wanted to treat them with respect. Alora couldn't confirm anything Tristan had told us. She still had a brand on her neck, and it clearly had different restrictions than his did. She did, however, confirm that she was still considered a part of his Ascension faction. She simply had fallen out of touch with most of their organization, meaning she was probably lying low and waiting to see how the infighting resolved itself, rather than risking herself further. After we finished sharing what we'd learned, Sarah and I went to talk alone in the bedroom I'd been assigned. "So," I sat down on the bed. Sarah sat next to me. "You've got an ascended attunement, apparently." Sarah nodded.
"I didn't even know for certain that was what it was until Mizuchi mentioned it, but I've been feeling a stronger connection to my summoned monsters while I've been recovering. After the ball, Veneve and I started practicing with it, and I figured out I could draw a bunch of his mana into me all at once. It makes me a lot stronger. It's a little scary, though."
"Yeah. After what happened with the water, I don't blame you for being cautious. But you do feel okay now?"
"Yeah. I think the attunement is built for doing that sort of thing. It was handling most of the burden of all that mana coming in, but I don't think I'll be able to do it often. When I first practiced with Veneve, He said he thought it worked more like a soul blade summon, the kind of thing you can't do more than once every few weeks or it gets dangerous.
Dangerous how?
It puts a lot of strain on both of us. It's almost like we're merging our mana together for a while. That could permanently alter how our mana works if we do it too much.
Makes sense. Karras had mentioned something similar about not being able to use some of his abilities too often because of how they altered his mana. Could you have done that with Ciryu?
Sarah shook her head. Not a chance. It still costs some of my mana to try to do that invoking thing, just like summoning something does. I still don't have enough mana to summon Ciryu, so I wouldn't be able to invoke her either.
What about using Veneve's mana to summon Ciryu?
It doesn't work like that. When I'm invoking someone, I'm only able to cast their spells with their mana, not mine. It's basically like I have all of their abilities on top of my own, but I can't mix them together freely. Not yet, anyway.
That's still pretty incredible. Sarah smiled.
No kidding. I wish I could do it more often.
She paused for a moment.
I still can't believe we beat Mizuchi.
Well, we didn't, really. We just teleported her off, and she was much weaker than the last time we fought her, if you didn't notice. Sarah nodded.
I did. The banishment spell was probably weakening her, and I think Tristan drained some of her mana with his attunement while they were grappling with each other.
I hadn't actually noticed that last part, but it certainly made sense. It also led me to a more awkward and more important discussion. What's your take on the situation with Tristan? I asked.
I don't trust him. Sarah shook her head. But I don't know what we should do.
I bobbed my head in agreement. I feel the same way. But I want to trust him. He's our brother. Sarah winced when I said that.
I suppose he is.
I frowned. Is there something you're not telling me? Sarah sighed.
I told you before. Tristan, he didn't always treat me well. You always idolized him, but he's not the perfect person you think he is.
Are you saying he didn't touch you, did he? She shook her head vehemently.
Not in the way you're thinking.
That was good, because if he had, I probably would have gone straight back to the spire to have a very different conversation.
He was cruel, Corin.
She wiped at her eyes.
There's a lot of your father in him. More than I think you realize.
I didn't want to think about the implications of that.
I'm sorry, Sarah. Is there something... What do you want me to do?
She shrugged a shoulder.
I know how much Tristan means to you. But when you're considering whether or not you trust him, just remember that there's another side to him that he doesn't show around you.
I'll try. I put a hand on hers. And for what it's worth, I'm not going to make any more big decisions without you. I mean, barring cases when we're in completely different locations and...
I know what you meant, Corin.
She paused, then smiled and squeezed my hand.
Thank you. That means a lot.
After that, we chatted a little longer, then washed up and went to sleep in the same room. In the morning, I had a new message in my book. Sarah and I read it together.
Dear brother, I regret that our meeting was so brief. As a result, I was not able to share as much as I wished with you, and I failed to ask you for a direct answer to an important question. You know my mission now. It will not be an easy one. My resources are thin, and my allies are few. My enemies are numerous and powerful. I know that you cannot entirely trust me. That is something that will take time and knowledge. But if you are willing, I could use your help. I have contacts in Kelford working on something important. Given what you already know, I'm certain you can guess what field of study it pertains to. I need someone I can trust to go and work with them. Someone who isn't known to be a member of my organization. Will you join my cause and help give humanity the power that it needs to stand among the gods? I await your answer. Tristan Cadence.
I spoke with Sarah for a time. Debated. Considered. Analyzed. In the end, I wrote a single word in reply. Yes.
I had a few visits to make before I left the country.
The first was the easiest. Cecily had left House Theus and gone home, but her family didn't live far away. I knocked on the door. It was her sister, Unica Lambert, that answered. Her eyes widened a little when she saw me.
Corn Cadence?
She blinked.
It's been a long time. What brings you here?
I was here to see Cecily, actually, but I think there are a few things you should know, too. Unica nodded.
Come inside.
I followed Unica in. She waved.
I think she's in her room. I have questions for you, but I think you should probably talk to Cecily first.
I found my way to Cecily's door and hesitated. It had been so easy to just walk in here and visit her. Why had I waited this long? Why was my hand trembling? People were so much more terrifying than monsters. I knocked softly on the door.
Who is it?
I hesitated again. After a moment, I managed. It's Corin. I heard footsteps running for the door. She flung the door open. I braced myself as she threw her arms around me.
Corin, you're okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. She buried her head in my shoulder.
Thank the goddess. I was so worried you wouldn't come back.
I awkwardly pat her on the back. I'm okay. It's okay now. I was still terrible at this sort of thing. But as much as I didn't like being touched, there was something important about the fact that she'd worried about me. That she'd cared. I took a breath and then pulled her just a little bit closer. It's going to be okay. I wasn't sure that I believed that, but on occasion, it felt good to pretend. I spent some time telling Cecily about what had happened in the spire. I didn't share every single detail. I didn't know how secure their house was. But I did confirm that I'd found Tristan, that he was really alive in there. Cecily smiled, brushing her eyes.
I'm so happy for you. I'm sure Unica will be thrilled, too. Do you know when she'll get to see him again?
I shook my head. I think it might be a while.
That's unfortunate.
Cecily turned her head away.
But I know she'll wait as long as it takes.
I didn't know what to say to that, so I changed the topic. I have a little something for you. Cecily blinked.
A souvenir, perhaps?
I shook my head. No, not something from the spire. I'll try to remember that next time. I pulled the mana watch out of my bag and handed it to her. I'd fixed it earlier in the day. You said you liked this when you saw it at the party. I thought you might want it. It was true that I thought she'd like the watch, but there was another reason I was giving it to her. It was my way of telling myself that I needed to stop using it as a crutch. If I wanted to grow stronger, I needed to stop letting my fear restrict my methods of training. She accepted the watch with a grin.
Thank you. It's a lovely gift. I'm afraid I don't have anything ready for you right now, but...
I shook my head. Actually, if you don't mind, I have a rather large favor to ask for. Would you like to come with me on an adventure? Cecily agreed to come with us to Caelford, of course. I couldn't explain why I was so excited that she accepted. Maybe I just wanted another enchanter's opinions on my research. A peer that I could share my excitement with. Someone who might understand bits of artificial attunement theory that could work with me on new ideas and tests. Perhaps she represented a tie to a brighter spot in my past. Something I wished I'd been able to hold on to a little tighter. But maybe there was a bit more to it than that. After that, we went and found Unica and told her a bit about what had happened. Unica was clearly heartbroken that Tristan hadn't left the spire with me, but she still seemed pleased to know that he was alive and well. I made certain to mention that Tristan was clearly thinking of her, too. With that finished, I had another visit to make that I wasn't looking forward to quite as much. I didn't like visiting the hospital. It was especially difficult when I didn't even know if the person I was visiting was going to be alive. Or if she was alive, I was a little worried that she hated me. It didn't take long to verify the first part.
Second floor, room 208.
I knocked on the door.
Didn't you read the sign? It says clearly no solicitors.
There was no such sign, nor were solicitors likely to be a problem at the hospital. I rolled my eyes. At least Professor Vellum's sense of humor was intact. "It's Corin." There was a brief pause.
"Ah, well then. What you waiting for, boy? Come in."
I opened the door and stepped inside. I expected Professor Vellum to be in a hospital bed, but I found her sitting back in a large chair, covered in an absolutely absurd pile of blankets. She set down a book on the table next to her as I walked in.
"No flowers? What sort of cheapskate are you?"
I chuckled and shut the door. "I figured you'd want something with a more practical application."
"What, so you smuggled me some liquor then? I could use enough to knock myself out for about a week."
I gave her a shrug. "No, but this should keep you busy for a while." I set a stack of papers on the desk next to her. She picked up the first page.
"Application for the patent and distribution of..."
Vellum turned her head to me.
"You brought me incomplete patent applications as a gift?"
"Well, you do have plenty of free time on your hands, and since you're already working on another patent for us..." Vellum grimaced, shaking her head.
"The Manawatch patent was denied."
I blinked. "Why?"
"Farren Labs already has a patent on a device that utilizes runes to perform computation, and our application was determined to fall within that category."
"But that other concept is absurdly broad. It has to encompass numerous types of potential devices." Vellum snorted.
"Welcome to working with corporations."
"Well, that's disappointing, of course, but I think this one is a better bet. Could you at least look it over?"
"You are the worst hospital visitor I have ever encountered. And that's impressive, because I'm including doctors in that list, and they have needles."
I laughed. "You'll be happier when you read through it and see what I'm offering."
"I sincerely doubt that."
I smiled. "How many people do you know that can make mana regeneration items?" Vellum's eyes narrowed at me. Then she glanced back to the papers. She lifted up the stack, paging through briefly.
"You want to patent something that only works when you make it?"
"It's not literally something that only I can make. It's just that, like you taught me, purifying magic is normally a horrendously inefficient process. Now, I'm not a patent lawyer, but from what I could tell from a cursory trip to the patent office, I don't think anyone has ever bothered to patent mana regeneration items in general. People do make them, but they're so rare and inefficient that no one is bothering with securing the rights. It currently has little value, but..."
"You think it will be valuable in the future?"
That was an understatement. "Once artificial attunements are more widespread, any number of people could have the same combination of attunements that I do. When that happens, it will be much easier to make mana regeneration items like mine, and I can already tell you that they're extremely useful." Vellum nodded.
"Very well. And why are you bothering to involve me? You've clearly gone through most of the research process already."
I shrugged. "I have no experience with filing patents, and I could use your expertise." I hesitated, glancing away.
"And?"
"And as something of an apology."
"For what, boy? You aren't the only one I rescued at the ball, you know."
I shook my head. "I'm grateful for that, of course, but that's not what I'm talking about."
"Oh?"
"When I took your final exam, I wasn't exactly honest with you. I didn't really make a separate anchor for the teleportation circlet, and I sort of implied that I had." Vellum broke into laughter, so hard she ended up covering her face.
"My dear boy, that was obvious. When I asked you about how the anchor worked, that was a jab. I was telling you that I knew you hadn't made a proper anchor for it."
She laughed again, shaking her head.
"You're fine, dear. That was already reflected in your grade."
"It was?" Vellum nodded.
"The more important question is, did you fix it?"
I hesitated. "Yes, but..."
"Does it work now?"
"Yeah."
"Good. Now don't make the same mistake again. Moving an enchantment from one item to another might seem simpler than making a new item from scratch, but there are additional layers of complexity that it's easy to forget about."
I understand.
No, you don't. Not properly.
She set down the papers and waved to another nearby chair.
Take a seat. It's time for your lesson.
I took a seat and listened attentively to my mentor's advice. There was one last trip to make before I left town. Not to Magnus Cadence. He'd get a letter if he was lucky. I pushed my way into the doors of the climber's court. It was busy that day, with customers gathered around Lars as he told a story.
The wind lashed the boat as we climbed toward the wind temple. And when I say lashed, I mean like a damn scythe. The living whirlwinds would tear you apart if they blew past you. But dangerous as they weren't the real problem. The razor winds had been called by Razo, the wielder of the cloud cutter.
He paused, spreading his hands wide for dramatic effect.
And Razo had a score to settle with me.
The customers were so distracted that I don't think they even noticed me enter. But Lars did.
Corin, lad! Come here and listen! I'm just getting to the best part.
I came over and listened to his story, leaning against a nearby counter to listen. He drew us in with his story of swords and monsters, of legendary magic and heroes lost. And then, when his story was done, he reached behind the counter.
And here it is, a fragment of the prime crystal of air itself, taken from that last battle in the Wind Temple.
He lifted the glimmering crystal, which glowed with brilliant light even without my attunement active.
One of my most precious possessions, a relic of times long lost, guarded by the Tengu for centuries and earned through battles hard fought and won.
He closed his eyes in a moment of solemnity, nodding to himself.
Bidding begins at 580 gold pieces.
And with that, the auction began. I didn't leave that night with a piece of legendary crystal, or any other item from that shop. But after the last customer left, and the night was dark, he gave me something more important when I said my goodbyes.
Oh, leaving, are you? That's a shame. You might not be my highest-paying customer, but you're still a good one.
I didn't know what to say to that, so I said nothing.
Don't look so sad, lad.
Lars smiled.
I'll still be here when you get back.
I never had a chance to say goodbye to Derek. He disappeared right after I explained what had happened in the spire. Alora assured me that he simply did this on occasion, and that he'd be fine. I left him a short note thanking him for everything, and Alora assured me that she'd make sure it got to him. I still didn't trust Alora in general, but I figured I could trust her with that. While I was writing letters, though, I did write one to my mother. Mother, I've discovered a bit of what happened in the spire. I'm heading out of the country for a while. I considered coming to you, but I think this is for the best. I'm safe. Sarah will be with me, and so will Patrick. He's one of my retainers now, if you haven't heard. I hope that you're safe and well in Delanos. We do have much to discuss. I hope you will be back in Velia by the time I return. Your son, Corin. I considered explaining that I'd met with Tristan, but I couldn't trust that the letter would reach my mother without being compromised by someone else. The risks were too high, and she already knew he was alive. That fact still weighed heavily on me, but I tried not to think about it too much. Was I being a hypocrite by not telling my father what I knew? Absolutely. But after everything Magnus Cadence had done, I couldn't bring myself to care. With my final business completed, I met with my friends. Sarah, Patrick, and Marissa, my closest companions. Karis, my new swordsmanship teacher. And finally, Cecily. I didn't really know what she was to me yet, but I did look forward to finding out. With them, I boarded the train to Kaelford. The trip across the continent would take about 2 weeks, and so those spy friends persuaded me to tell this story. I agreed, under a few conditions. First, they had to understand that I was going from memory and that not every detail of every conversation was going to be perfectly accurate. It was possible that I might embellish a few little bits and pieces here and there. Second, they'd have to keep the story to themselves. I didn't want this information spreading to anyone else without a chance for me to approve whoever we were going to share it with. Trust still wasn't easy for me. Third, I wasn't going to omit bits for anyone. That meant there were going to be a few pieces of the story that might be a little embarrassing to me or to others. So, sorry about telling everybody about when you asked Sarah out, Patrick. After that, though, there was one last condition. The story was offered as a trade. Sarah, you're going to need to tell us at some point how you walked out of your judgment with the ability to summon a god beast. But first, Karis, it's your turn to tell us a story. Tell us about Dawnbringer and the six sacred swords.
This is the end of On the Shoulders of Titans. If you enjoyed this audiobook, find more just like it by visiting oddfans.com, the premier audiobook discovery service that brings tailored recommendations direct to your email. That's AUDFANS.com. You have been listening to On the Shoulders of Titans, Book 2 of Arcane Ascension, produced by Emily Durr, executive producer Greg Lawrence, written by Andrew Rowe, performed by Nick Podell. Text copyright 2018 by Andrew Rowe. Production copyright 2019 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.